session number 10768, reel 4.
John Granger in Reel 4. Did you get any training in gas warfare and in how to use your mask? And
got a certificate there for me gas. We all had to go through the gas chamber. They just had to go in, put your mask on, go in and go out the other side. Stop in a certain time, then go out the other side. And it was just as easy as that.
You didn't have any problems with it at all?
Oh no, it was the old type gas mask, you know, over your head, tweezers on your nose, you know, and mouthpieces on it.
Did you find them easy, this was the first time you, did you find them easy to breathe in and to use?
There wasn't much difficulty, no. We used them several times in France, we got gas there.
I'll be coming to that. What about the actual techniques of trench warfare? Did you actually practice in trench?
Yes,
in trenches,
we did.
You know, yeah. What it would be like living in a trench?
Oh, I didn't have any practice of living in it, no. In some of the exercises, when we were in training there, we had these competitions at times between different platoons and companies, and the winners used to get a weekend leave then for that.
And how? What sort of competition were they? What were
Well, they got to do everything. Marching, sea of it was, PT, all a lot, and then they had to do this, going, like, you've seen that Krypton Factor, like that type of thing. We got to go over one of them.
An obstacle course?
An obstacle course, yes. And do all the bayonets and finish up in with dummy in the trench actually, and I get to get all the bayonet strokes through, and we won it once, and we were supposed to be going home on a Friday night, on a Friday dinner time. Sergeant Major William Marshall, who was our Sergeant Major, called us all up on parade. He said, "I'm sorry," he says, "you're not going home," and we were all looking up like going home from Friday to bloody Monday morning. Maybe it was cancelled. There'd been some objection about it, and that was it. So we got to all that for nothing.
Did you think the sort of tactical exercises of making an attack and such, did you think they were realistic? I mean,
sometimes, yes. Sometimes. We had a special tactic when we're over there, but
that's what
they used to call battle service, battle something, battle attack, and it was a special this way, and they had to go over the top. But,
where were you taught that?
In France.
Right.
It was taught us when we were out of the line, and we had to teach the Yanks came to us, and we had to teach them how to carry on the same thing. And we did all that while we were supposed to be out on rest. And when we were going back up the line, they buggered off down to Echaps, which was the headquarters of the whole lot. Base camp.
I've made a note, and I'll ask you a bit more about the battle attack. Was there any other sort of training you had while you were at Oswestry?
Wouldn't say so, no.
You didn't have any specialisation like signalling, machine gun or anything like that, did you?
No, I did machine gun in France. I was on a Lewis gun, second on a Lewis.
But you didn't get any training at Oswestry on the Lewis?
Well, we all knew it, but we didn't need much training on a Lewis gun. We did have lectures there and how to take it to pieces and refit it up, you see. We got all these lectures about things that were interesting and that were part of the job, you see. But I wouldn't give a vivid recollection of much of it. I know I had an overall knowledge of everything when I went over to France, but I would be very glad to.
So you felt before you got to France and after you got to France that you'd been well trained.
I felt fit. I felt absolutely 100% fit.
I mean, one thing we missed out. Did you go on route marches at all?
Well, in the camp.
Route marches out
of
the camp.
We went on night operations and all sorts. You see, out in the country and sleeping out on the roadside at night instead of, you know, the part of a parade. And we'd perhaps go from there, Arsenal City, Gaboyne, and to all different places round. They were a regular feature. That was what they used to call night manoeuvres. You see, they were another type of training. But the ordinary route marches, we did them very often. And then you had to get bloody full kit and all. When you got that lot on and the old band duke, oh God, you had the lot.
How far would you go on a route march?
Well, to me, it always seemed till the bloody dropped it. I mean, it would be easy about, say, 10 or 12 miles, you know.
Would you get a rest?
Oh, yes, about 10 minutes every hour, you get a rest.
And what would you do during your rest?
Just have a sit down on the roadside. If she finds somewhere, a field or something like that, they give you 10 minutes every hour. Oh, that was standard.
Did you ever sing at all? Or was
yes. I always sing along. Yeah.
What sort of songs did they sing at this time in England, or Wales?
Well, the same sort of things that you're singing in England, Wales, or anywhere now. The only ones that are any good, the old time ones. They sung all that lot. I've got tapes in there of lots of them. All the old ones. Hippodrome, Palace Talk, all these George Formby's and all the old comedian type, and you know, Larry Wallace's, Mary Lloyd, and all of them.
So, music hall songs?
Aye, all the old music hall songs.
Did they make their own lyrics up, or was it just the original?
Oh, now, don't get on that. Oh, no. Now, they made a lot of funny songs up in the old county. Yeah. Oh,
so they did do that?
Yeah. Well, that all helped you along, you see. Because if you're going along and you're cheering, you're laughing and all the rest of it, which you could do when you were marching at ease, you see, but when you come to march at attention, then you got to march at attention.
How did you get on with the local civilians?
Oh, they treated us very well. They got on very well. As a matter of fact, every Sunday morning was church parade for one of the battalions. They took it in turns to go to the church in the town, Osborne Street. And we used to march down there, clean fatigued, that's as they called it, you know, tidy, but no haversack and no rifle and bayonet. And we used to march down there with the band blazing away, you know, to the church. And they used to enjoy it. We got on very well with the civilians. Well, there was nothing to fall out with them about.
Did you ever go into the town
Very seldom I did. No, there was always enough for me to do in the camp, whatever I wanted to do.
Did any of the men go into the town?
Oh, lots of them went down, oh yes.
And what sort of things would they do?
Well, there was no... the only thing was cinemas. Picture houses, you know, you get your local cinema. They go in there. That was the only thing then, because there was no television then in those days, no radio, you see.
You didn't go to the cinema though?
No, I don't remember. I've no recollection of going to any of the entertainments in the town.
Would the local civilians do anything to help? Would they come? Would they let you soldiers visit their homes and such like?
No, but whatever, I never contacted anything like that, no. No. We've got everything in the camp, really, that we want.
Were most of the men new recruits in the battalion, or were the old soldiers and wounded soldiers?
No, the battalion that we were in, and there was several of them at Osworth Street. It was a huge camp, and most of them, 90%, were new recruits that had enlisted.
Were they all underage? Like
all you? Same as me, yeah.
18?
That was when they were scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yes, they were, definitely.
Where exactly was the camp in relation to Osworth Street? I know it was at Osworth Street, but where?
Park Hall Camp. There was a triangle there. There was Osworth Street, Caboin, and what was the other? And there was another little village. Three of them. And they were in fields, used by what they call Park Hall, which had been apparently somebody's estate. And there was a main pass right through it. And there was, as I say, there was the Liverpools, there was the Royal Lancs, North Lancs, Northumberland regiments, Welsh regiments, all of them in that camp. And on that Friday night, when we went over, they cleared it, practically cleared it.
I think we'll come on to that now. How did you first hit? You arrived in August,
yeah.
17. When did you leave for France?
About February.
February 1918?
February, March, sometime then. Yeah.
Was it before or after the big German attacks? There's a big German attack, yes. On the 21st. Was it
we were just about the time of that, we went into that. And the March retirement, it was.
So you arrived in time for that?
In time for that. And we went, well, we just about got there, and then we were enrolled. We all got enrolled and into the Lancashire Fusiliers, and the next thing, they were off like buggery.
Right, that makes it clear.
Yeah.
But so going back to when you were at Osworth Street, how did you first hear you were being posted? You say the camp was cleared. What exactly happened? How did you first know? Did you get?
We were all called on parade, and we were told that we were going abroad. You see, so we all did our stuff, wrote to our relations, because there was no what they call it, leave, special leave.
No embarkation.
No embarkation leave. No, we just got to know that week, and there was nobody allowed to go home because we all got to get ready for overseas, and then instead of going from Osborne Station, there's special trains in at Caboin Station, and on the Friday night at about 5 o'clock, we were all lined up. Our lot, the others were doing their stuff. But our battalion was all lined up there, and we were marched down to the station at Caboin, and it's only a small station, you see, a one-liner type of thing. And next thing we knew, we were at Porkstone.
Was there any sort of a send-off from the civilians?
Where at? There were no civilians about. There was none at Osborne. They never come in the camp. They didn't come in to see us or anything. Well, some of them had written for the wives and that, and one or two of them had come up.
Did you know where you were going at all?
Oh, we knew we were going to France.
You knew it was the Western Front?
Oh, we knew we were going there.
How did you know that? Did they tell you? Or?
Well, we it was on the what do you call it there, bush telephone. So everybody knew. You soon got to know what was going on.
How did the bush telephone work? I mean, you know, I mean, I know it's rumour, but how did it start?
Well, it's like the old women in the street. Have you heard this one? You know, and of course, as it goes on, it gets a bloody sight worse, as you know. It grows, doesn't it?
How did you feel about going to France? Were you nervous?
I didn't bother. I wasn't worried about it one way or the other. I just took it in my stride.
Do you think most people were like that?
Well, the majority, there's one or two of the lads there that had got girls and brought them up, and there was this moaning bloody scene, you know, all flabbering around one another and crying their eyes out. But, it wasn't my sort of scene at all. No, I knew where we were going, and that was it. And we got to Folkestone on a Saturday morning, and if you've been to Folkestone, there's a big hill there, right down from the promenade to the harbour, And I can always remember, that's called Remembrance Hill, I think now, because of the number of soldiers that used to go through it. All miles of them went through there during the war. And we marched down there. Oh, we had an hour in a field somewhere. And then we got up and then we went down that pathway and onto the ship. And we were there. And before we knew where we were in Boulogne.
Now, what kind of kit did you take? What kit did you take over?
Everything you'd got, the old fit, the complete kit.
And can you remember what that was now?
I know it's you had your kit back to start with, you see, and then you got your ground sheet, that had to go in it. You got all your uniform on your body, and you got. You got the hat. You got your chin hat, and your cap. You took both of them, one on your head and one your chin hat on the top of your kit bag. You had that ready, and you're panicking for your grub. What is it? Panicking, they call it.
Dixie.
Your Dixie, yes. For your grub. And your cup, tin cups, and everything. And, well, you got socks and shirt, and, yes, your shirt and socks, and an undergarment. But, I don't think there was much.
Did you have a housewife? You know, you sewed.
Oh, yes, that we had the old of it. That and that had button sticking and all the gears, all the bits and pieces. Yes, oh, he had one of them. That was very important.
What about the emergency rations? Was that part of the kit?
Oh yes, she had the emergency rations. Yes, and what was on the tip of my tongue then? Emergency rations.
You weren't given any special kit then when you went off?
No, they only got the tin hat, you see, that was a special one.
What was your first, that was the first time you'd had your tin hat?
Well, we didn't use them in here, not while we were over here.
What did you think of it when you first got it? Cause
all right, comfortable.
It was comfortable?
You had to get them as near as you could to fit you, as comfortable as could be. Oh, aye.
Would you pad it out to try and make it a better fit if it was?
Didn't need to. It was really nice inside. They were always comfortable.
Did you get any lectures or leaflets telling you how to behave in France and Belgium? I mean, with the civilians and things.
No, I never got anything like that. The only thing was keep out of the road of women. You behave yourself and expect them to do the same. That's what it amounted to. Some of the lads went a bit wry with the women and all that, but it's not necessarily expected.
What was the journey like? What was the journey out like to France?
Well, it took us 2 hours on the across the channel, and then when we got over there, it was absolutely soaking in, pouring in bloody torrents. And
which town did you arrive in?
We were in Boulogne. Well, then we had to wait then till they found conveyances for us to go to what was the big base, ETAPS, ETAPLES, ETAPS. Well, that was where the assembly point for everybody in that area.
What was happening when you got to ETAPS?
There was just masses of troops there, all being assembled. You see, it was just an absolute huge camp.
And the whole of the 5th Battalion went in there?
Oh, hundreds besides, yes. No, it was the 42nd Division that went in there. That's the Lancashire Fusiliers, the Lanchesters and the Royal North Lancs. And then we were all sorted out from there. We didn't know when we got there where we were going, but then all of a sudden they started transporting us up the line. And we went up to these different places, different sectors.
So the battalion was split up?
No, the battalion, the Lancashire Fusiliers were completely together.
No, but your battalion.
Oh, us lot.
The 5th Battalion.
Oh, that was finished as far as we are concerned. Yes. There was no 5th and 6th Kings.
Did you do any training at all while you were at Etaples? Was it just this mustering?
No, it was just mustering in. Getting it all fixed up.
What do you mean by fixed up?
Well, where we're going to go. Actually, we none of us seemed to know what the hell was happening. But fortunately for us, in the meantime, he's pulled up his troops on Prince Willie's orders.
The Crown Prince?
Yes, Crown Prince. And that gave us the opportunity of... That gave us the opportunity of doing what he'd done, consolidating.
So this was after the March 20th?
Oh, that was after that, yes.
Was it into April by this time, do you think?
Or yes, it would be into April then, you see. And
you were posted to which battalion?
We went to this place somewhere near Bapalm, and there was a big camp there. A big field.
Which battalion?
And we went to the 1st 7th left there. That's where we joined them.
What happened when you arrived to join? They were near Bapalm in a camp. What happened when you got there?
Well, we just went through to... They had a big marquee there, and the Sergeant Major and some of his sergeants were there just sort of shepherded through this marquee, and they were taking all our details, you see. And that's why when I got through, I was going through name, John Granger, address, 153 Highfield Road, and one of the sergeants behind, he looked at me, and I knew him, and he knew me, because he was in Christchurch Boys Brigade, the 63rd. And he turned round at me and he says, "Don't say 47th, I said, "Aye, we were 47th Brigade, weren't we?" And he was in 63rd. And of course, we started having a bit of a chat, and all of a sudden, Charlie Major turned down and he said, "When you two boys are finished with the Boys Brigade, we've got a bit of a war on here, you know." So we just all went through.
Were you put into companies then?
We were all lined up in different companies, A, B, C and D companies.
Which one were you put in?
Well, I was in B company. And funny thing, this sergeant, Tommy Gerard, he said to me, he says, "Do you still play a drum?" I says, "Well, I haven't done since I come in here." So he says, "Well, do you want a drummer's job?" I says, "Why?" He says, "Well, I want another drummer because they're going to try and make the bugle band into a proper brass band. And they wanted drummers and anybody could play instruments."
So what happened about that?
So I saw one or two of the drummers walking about there, all the white piping and drums down on the long drums down, you know. Well, I'd been used to some. I looked at this lot and I thought, and pipe clay on the shoulders and all that. I thought, "Oh, not me." Well, they were nothing but bloody pipe clay and stuff all the time. I says, "No, I'll go up line with lads."
So you didn't fancy cleaning the extra?
It was that, you know, white bandage and white stuff all over the place. All the drum stuff, all white pipes there. I thought, "Oh, no, to hell with that."
Would you have been a stretcher bearer if you'd been in the band?
No, we were just old. We were down at the horse lines, as they call it.
No, I mean, but wasn't that the normal role of the band, to be stretcher bearers in action?
Well, no, they didn't. The stretcher bearers were very important on their own. Oh, they were the boys.
So you just went into B Company?
I went into B Company, yes.
What was the state that this is after the big German attack in March. What was the state of the unit when you joined it, your company in particular?
To tell the truth, I don't know where they were up to. Nobody seemed to know. But we were more or less filled it up.
Have they suffered a lot of casualties?
Oh, they said. They had a lot of prisoners taken as well, yes. Oh, actually, they were in a bit of a bad state. And if it hadn't been for Ludendorff pulling up, we'd have been in Calais. And that was it.
What do you mean they were in a bad state? Was the morale low?
Well, everybody. The British troops were rather demoralised. But after a week or just over so, they seemed to be coming back again. And the fact that they were getting together in the different mobs, as you might call them, that gave them a bit more buck up. And then those new troops coming out, a lot of youngsters, you know.
They were pleased to see you, were they?
Well, I'll say they were pleased to see us. And they got somebody to muck about with, you see. We were batching, we were up to everything, more or less. We had to do jobs and try to keep going. And you see, they were getting all of the trench lines. It's something like a line to form a complete line right the way along. We didn't know what was actually, we knew it was going on, but our little area where we were, the trenches there had to all be put right, you know, and all the duck boards down and see, tidy the whole place up.
Were you actually digging the trenches?
No, we didn't dig the trenches.
Were they old trenches from previous battles, or were they reserve line trenches?
The trenches we went in were all from the first part of the war, when the old battle of 1916 Battle of Somme was on. But you see, the trenches were all dug by the Chinese. They dug them.
Did you see the Chinese labour?
Oh, yes, we saw like miles of them there. The Chinese was rather funny about them, you see, because in Everton, take Everton for instance, in Everton Wood, well, the west side, where we were, say, that was all, we were in clay there, and further forward, in their land, going eastward, they were in chalk, which made a hell of a difference. Well, for quite a long period during the beginning of that summer, we were just going forward, and they were coming forward, and we were just sort of reconnoitring amongst from one thing to the other, you see. We were all our turns in the trenches, they were all manned, and the Germans were all manned. And we had to, well, when you were in the trenches, you got to go down for the grub, you know, with the big pannikins and carry them back up.
I'll be coming to positions in the trenches. Yeah. So you were a period in reserve round Bapaume, yeah, when you joined.
Yeah.
And then you moved up, and the first area you can remember being in trenches is in Hebuterne.
Round about Hebuterne Wood, yes.
Because I can see from the diary that they were there in mid-July.
Yeah, oh, well, we were there long before that. Around about there, and they settled in Everton Wood for quite a period.
I'll talk to you a bit about that when we, you know, as we go, yeah, on. When you first joined them, did you get out into the villages, or did you get any idea of the French civilians?
There was round about that area, except for Bapaume itself. I think there'd be about one row of cottages that were partly up, and then the rest of it was just all ruins.
Flattened
out, yes. There was one little place there. It's also barren. There was one little place there where there was a bit of a farmyard. And the farmer there, the old man, was trying to eke a living out, but I think he was doing a bit of spying for the Germans, you know.
What made you think that?
Well, They simply hated us, the French did.
What, mate?
They were. We were going along the road there one time, and on the march, when I'd drunk my water, which you weren't supposed to do, but I wanted it filling up again, and here was this old dame at the well, bringing the water up, and I just run out. I was near the back end of the of the troops, and I just went, bobbed out to her, and she just got a bucket full of water there. I said, water, and I got my water bottle there, and then she played out. No, it wouldn't even give me a drop of water. So I just kicked the bucket down the bloody well and walked on.